worship you with all of me, my heart, my life. I'll give you everything.
I love what you sing. I worship you with all of me. Doesn't that remind you of what the Lord Jesus said? That we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. All of me. That's not a very easy thing to do, but it's a very good thing to do, to give our all to our God, our Lord, our Savior. Have you noticed that as you give more of yourself away to the Lord, as you submit more to Him, yield more to Him, that life actually gets better? God really didn't design it so that we be in control of our lives. He designed it so that He's in control of our lives, but as an act of our will, by our choice. And when we choose to let Him call the shots, life doesn't become easy. It doesn't become a piece of cake, but it sure gets better. How are we doing as we continue to take a look at why we love? I'm asking the question, how are we doing? How are we doing when it comes to loving? We've been having a lot of things going on in the world. And I mean, ever since Eve ate the fruit that she was not supposed to eat, things have been ugly. That's where it started. And the head, Adam, decided that he would listen to his wife instead of listening to his father, his God. And instead of saying no to Eve when she said, okay, Adam, you eat some of this fruit too. Even though we know God said, don't eat it. I've eaten it, so now you eat some. He went on ahead and ate some. And he sealed the temporary fate of mankind by making sin the order of the day, because his wife had already, our mother, had already sinned. And so she had made her nature a sinful nature. She had literally changed her righteous nature into a sinful nature. Adam was our hope. He went along with his wife and he sinned, and thereby changed his righteous nature into a sinful nature. Because God had already designed it so that whatever was in the parents would be passed into the children, instead of Adam and Eve passing a righteous nature into their children, they passed a sinful nature into their children. And that's the way it has been and will continue to be until it's all over. So in the meantime, drama has filled the earth since. I mean, think about it. The first son, and I'm talking about the first son of God, who would be Adam, the first son born to Adam and Eve murdered the second son born to Adam and Eve. So as genealogy goes, as far as we can tell, the third human being on the earth murdered the fourth human being on the earth. It would have been bad enough if the 100th human being or the 1,000th human being on earth committed the first murder. The third human being on the earth committed murder. And like I said, the earth has been filled with dark drama ever since. So there's been a lot of space for much forgiveness. But on the flip side of that, there's been a lot of opportunity for bitterness. There's been a lot of space for people to come together. There have been a lot of opportunities for people to be divided. I tell you, it's been so beautiful when people have been together, heart and mind, genuinely caring about what's going on in the world, caring about every race, every age group, every nationality, truly caring. But hasn't it been terrible when people have been divided and just been against each other, whether within the same ethnicities, whether across ethnic boundaries or lines. I shouldn't say boundaries. Whether it has been within the same place of worship or different places of worship. Truth be told, not only do we have problems across denominations, we have problems within denominations. We have problems within congregations. And that's no secret to anyone. Any congregation knows that that's the way it is, unfortunately. And of course, we have problems with some people wanting life and good quality of life for all American citizens. Some of us are looking even beyond just America, and we're looking globally, and we want a good quality of life for all people all over the world. But not everyone has that mindset. Not everyone has that habit of thinking. Not everyone has that desire. There are a lot of people who really do want the worst for certain groups of people. How are we doing when it comes to having sincere compassion on people who are targeted for grief? And I do mean literally targeted. There are people on this earth who want members of this group or that group to have it as tough as possible. How are we doing when we see this going on, when we see certain school districts that are deliberately shortchanged when it comes to providing the best that a district or a state has to offer? They give certain schools in certain districts enough to keep them going while they make sure that other schools in other districts are caused to thrive. I truly believe when you think about all the money that is in this country alone, just in this country, trillions upon trillions of dollars, there is enough money in this nation to see to it that all schools thrive in every school district. The money is here. And when we read about, when we hear about certain schools just being deliberately shortchanged, how are we doing when it comes to the way we respond to that situation? Do we care? Do we grieve? Do we become saddened by it? Do we find ourselves praying that God will bring about change? Do we find ourselves looking for the politicians who truly favor making all school districts strong and making every school and every school district strong? I mean, think about it now. We know for a fact, we human beings, especially God's people, know that very often the same way our arch enemy, Satan, gets a lot of his work done through people who serve him, we also know that God gets a lot of his work done through people who serve him. So do we just settle for just praying and asking God to do everything? And we end our activity at prayer? I mean, think about it now. When it comes to, let's just say, abortion, there are a lot of people who not only pray, but they get actively involved and have remained actively involved for years, some for decades, and seeing to it that this agenda that they value is pushed. They look for politicians who will state with certainty that they are against abortion, they're against homosexuality. They look for those politicians and very often will make those two issues the sticking points for them. If a politician does not embrace those two values, if they don't make it clear that they're against abortion, they're against homosexuality, they won't even have any interest whatsoever in supporting that politician. Now, I'm not saying that we should look for politicians who do support homosexuality, who do support abortion. As I've said before, from my understanding of the scriptures, God is very clear that he is opposed to homosexuality. And for that reason, I'm opposed to homosexuality. I love homosexuals just as much as I love heterosexuals. I care about homosexuals just as much as I care about heterosexuals. But I'm convinced that just as adultery goes against what God teaches, just as I'm convinced that incest goes against what God teaches, just as I'm convinced that rape goes against what God teaches, what God approves, I'm convinced that homosexuality goes against God's order for sexual activity. This is the reason I bring it up, though. The same way we have a lot of people who pray about abortion and homosexuality, those issues in America, and they become actively involved by looking for politicians who express their viewpoint about abortion and homosexuality. Do you also pray about unfairness with regards to how monies are distributed to every school and every school district, and look for politicians who you feel certain will push to have monies distributed fairly, equitably to all schools and every school district under their authority? Or do you just stop at praying about the school issue and continue to be politically involved about the homosexual and abortion issues? Again, I'm asking, how are we doing when it comes to compassion? We know that getting a good education is a very good way to help a person improve the quality of their life. And especially when they start partnering with someone else, they come together as husband and wife, and children come into the picture. We're talking a bigger family now. More education can help improve the quality of life for the whole family. Lack of education can bring misery and devastation to families generation after generation after generation. Do we have enough compassion to move us to action about that kind of situation? How about this? We know that we've been having a problem with murder in our country ever since it came to be called America. Slaves murdered during Jim Crow, black people lynched. We've had white people murdering white people. We have a lot of murder that's been going on. And unfortunately, again, ever since this country came to be called America, even people in law enforcement have been killing indiscriminately people of all races, but especially members of the black race. How are we doing when it comes to having compassion when we see how we have people targeting people of color, and especially the black race, to be killed, leaving families all across America to grieve for years and years and years over the loss of their loved one and the killing of their loved one? To lose a loved one is not a good thing. But a loved one gets lost in an automobile accident because they fall asleep at the wheel is a different kind of loss than losing a loved one because they've been shot to death by someone who chose to kill them, whether that person was wearing a badge or not. There are entire sectors of our society who have been targeted to become victims of grief, frustration, distress. How are we doing when it comes to truly having compassion for them, for these groups, for these people? I mean, do we really care? Do we care enough to at least pray fervently about the matter and pray frequently about the matter? Do you listen to how our politicians talk about these matters? And do you find yourself starting to look for politicians who you have reason to believe, to truly believe, when we get past all the rhetoric, all of the gamesmanship, and we just look at reality with integrity? Do you find yourselves beginning to look for politicians who you believe have a genuine interest in doing what they can to put a stop to all this killing of black people? How about this? When you think about all these law enforcement officers killing people, killing American citizens indiscriminately, brutally killing them, do you think about God's law, thou shalt not kill? And that has to do with murder. It doesn't matter whether the person's wearing a badge or not. Thou shalt not kill. You shall not kill. How are we doing when it comes to looking at what's happening in our nation? All across our nation. And it never stopped. It never ended. It started in slavery and it has not ended since. It has gone on all of these centuries. Of course, another fair question to ask is, have black people stopped murdering black people? Drive-bys, attempted poisonings, you name it. Have we stopped killing each other? Do we pray about this? Do we come up with ways to address it so that people at least hear our voices. We're not going to shut it out. We're not going to stop it. That's reality. But are we doing what we can do?